23rd day of August. The prep tip of the day is to back up all your computer information on a flash drive. Put that flash drive in a Faraday bag and make sure it's safe and protected. Do not use the cloud. The cloud is a fancy word for an unknown computer someplace that stores your information. That's not a very good idea. We have patient Wayne in the green room, my friend Jeff Nyquist. Jeff Nyquist began a quest, and it's been his lifelong quest, about 37 years ago, to understand, to comprehend, eventually become quite expert in anything and everything to do with the International Commerce Conspiracy. He's authored 6 books that are for sale at Amazon.com. His website is jrnyquist.blog. I say again, jrnyquist.blog, where he writes 1, sometimes 2 excellent articles that have footnotes every week. Good morning, Jeff.
Good morning.
Good to have you with us, sir. We may have a call left over from the last hour. I don't know if he's still here or not. Is Don from Arizona still there? Don's gone. Okay, well, call number is 512-248-8252. Jeff, there's a lot of opinion. I share the opinion that the Biden administration is actually the Obama administration's third term. Do you have any thoughts in that area, sir?
Well, I don't I don't know, but in every government is more than just the spokesman or leader who gets elected. It's a number of people. And the composition of the Democratic Party, the top leadership, the fact that you have a lot of ideologically far-left people. The thing is, you know, Eric Berglund long ago, the philosopher, said that liberals, in the sense of the modern liberal, not the classical liberal, are right-wing communists. He made this point that they have the same dream as the communists. They just are going about it a different way. You know, a communist is a liberal in a hurry and willing to use violence. So they think organically they're going to get us to this kind of ideal society where everybody's free and equal, not realizing that equality and freedom are incompatible, not realizing that democracy and freedom ultimately are incompatible, because pure democracy, which they keep wanting, pure democracy tends towards rule of demagogues, towards socialism, opens the door on socialism, and then you can't stop it. And so the idea is that we're going to eventually be this socialist, Soviet socialist type society where everything's regulated by the government for our own sake, right? For our own good. And of course, we know how that turns out. We can look at China. We can look at the Soviet Union and even Russia right now, where the pretense of freedom and the pretense of democracy has been so rudely taken away, where more than a million, according to one Russian podcaster, more than a million Russians have fled the Russian Federation because of this war and the way they've locked down the press and they've locked down business. It's very interesting. It's back to the USSR in a more jolting way. And this is what they would like to do here if they could. And so the Biden administration is a continuation of Obama, who is a continuation of the Clintons. They're gradually boiling the frog, and there maybe is going to be a crisis that's going to allow them to suddenly turn up the heat on us. We saw what happened during the pandemic, how they tried to use government to force everybody to be vaccinated, with to be a guinea pig in a vaccine that was not properly tested. You know, we all know that. We've seen the data about the vaccine injuries coming out and increasing. We could see the lockdowns. Look, Sweden had no lockdowns. Sweden had a lower death rate than we did. So why did we have the lockdowns? Why did we damage our economy when it was not necessary? If it was necessary, why did Sweden come out better without any lockdowns? Nobody's reasoning about any of this. Nobody's thinking about it. But it's all about power for these people. And so in that sense, yeah, we've got a continuation, because Obama was a Marxist, and Biden serves the same masters. And the idea that Biden is really helping Ukraine, I saw a podcast the other day the newly dead in a Ukrainian military cemetery. Very beautifully decorated graves, really tremendous honoring of the dead there, and talking about how we're slow walking everything. You know, Andrei Ilarionov said Congress has approved $48 billion in military aid, and the administration, as of the beginning of last month, had only given 17. They're not just slow walking; they're trying to cut it down as much as they can, and of course that means Ukrainians die. And what's funny is Europe is not able, with their financial crisis, with the pressure on them, with the Russians cutting the gas pipeline and the price of oil and so on, the economy there in Europe is reeling, and the Germans aren't able to rebuild their military as they had imagined. And it takes years to rebuild these militaries. If the Ukrainian military should collapse, Europe, what would the state of Europe be? How would they be able to defend if they're not ready? The Ukrainians have been fighting the Russians for 8 years before the Russian invasion, more than a year and a half ago. So they were getting ready. They were building their military. They were fighting the Russians for 8 years. Europe doesn't have that. Europe's not ready. We're not ready. We've got China pushing us on the other side.
I was almost part of that effort, Jeff, to refresh your memory. The spring of 2015, I was approached to put together a team to go to Ukraine and teach Ukrainian special forces to be compliant with NATO special forces protocols. And it was it would have been a good assignment. We had the team put together. We weren't quite ready to go, had not contacted the State Department yet, because there was no way I was going to go there without the State Department being in the loop and giving their blessing on it. But the funding didn't come through, and we didn't go. But it would have been a good assignment, and I was looking forward to it.
Well, that was during the Obama years, and it would have been interesting. You know, Obama didn't send any weapons to Ukraine. It was only Trump that first actually sent weapons there. It was all, you know, humanitarian aid. And, you know, the problem is those poor people were fighting the Russians. And the Russians had invaded Donbass under the cover of claiming that local Russians were being murdered there in Donbass, which is – these are just Russian fabrications.
Right.
And I hear them repeated over and over again. Yeah.
We were told the funding was coming from a wealthy Ukrainian businessman is what we were told at the time. Mm-hmm. But that was then, and this is now. Well, while we're on the topic of Ukraine, any updates on what's going on with that war, sir?
Well, it's ongoing. The Russians are doing attacks in the north, and the Ukrainians are advancing in the south. But it's slow in both cases. The war is, you know, conventional war is changing. And it's drones that are changing the nature of war. They're making very sophisticated drones. These are, you know, robot-controlled craft, and they're getting more sophisticated, and they can knock out vehicles and even tanks. And the thing is that you go behind the lines. You attack trucks. You attack rocket launchers. You attack artillery. You can attack all kinds of things with drones. And they're small. And the one thing about them is they have limited range right now. So their ability to go deep behind the lines is there are larger drones, and the Ukrainians have used them to attack deep inside of Russia to retaliate in Moscow and to hit airfields. I saw a report that the Russians had another bomber that was damaged. They'll go into Russian airfields and attack aircraft. But the war is, you know, it's infantry and drones and tanks and armored personnel carriers aren't as important because they're really expensive and they can be taken out by much cheaper weapons. So both sides are being much more careful in protecting their tanks, keeping infantry around their tanks, and of course it's about artillery. So I saw Colonel Douglas McGregor's interview with Tucker Carlson the other day. And again, a very offensive – I don't know what's wrong with Colonel McGregor. I've spoken to him. I've had long conversations with him on the phone, and I interviewed him when I had a radio show more than a decade ago. But I don't know, you know, what's wrong with him. For him to claim there have been 400,000 Ukrainian casualties, and then for him to go right up the line and say every lie the Russian government has made is really astonishing to me. And that anyone who knows about Russia, knows what's gone on over there between Russia and Ukraine, knows that McGregor is lying. Why is a man like that lying? Of course, he's been out of the Pentagon. He's been out of the army for many years. I have no idea. It really, and it's angry. I'm very angry that Tucker Carlson sits through this interview and doesn't ask any hard questions, merely just plays into the narrative and doesn't apparently know enough about Russia or Ukraine to know that he's hearing lies. You know, the more likely numbers are that the Russians have lost 250,000 dead and wounded, and that they have suffered thousands of tanks and lost, you know, artillery, many thousands. And the idea that, you know, the Ukrainian losses, I'm sure they're pretty high. Ukraine's been pretty tight about them. But, you know, what the Russians do, and they did this in World War II, is to invert their actual losses. They've done it in other wars. So when they're losing 5-1, they flip it and they make the other side, the Germans, losing 5-1 or whatever. But you see this, and I think McGregor said the Russians had lost 50,000 troops. If a country one-third your size loses 5 times the losses in a year and a half, they would have collapsed long before that. Because anybody knows anything about war, when there's that level of losses, the weaker side, the side that has less men and less resources, collapses. It's just on its face, it's just an impossible lie. And it's outrageous. And the fact of the matter is that country needs support, Ukraine, because it is being attacked by the stronger country. And unless they want Russia right up to the borders of NATO, because they won't stop at the river, they won't be satisfied with what they've got. That's why Putin won't negotiate. And everybody, all of these people who are confused by the Russian propaganda, think it's the Ukrainians that don't want to negotiate. Well, the Ukrainians would like their land back and would like to be supported. But these claims, and it's been on your show too, that somehow there was this Israeli prime minister, you know, they had this mistake that the Israeli prime minister was misinterpreted in what he said. And he clarified, and he said, no, when we went to try to make this peace deal with between the Russians and Ukrainians, Putin said, I won't talk to those Nazis, right? Which is what the Russians want to call the Ukrainians, which is, by the way, nonsense. Ukrainians aren't Nazis. That is, you know, we're more Nazi than the Ukrainians. We've got more Nazis here in America than they have in Ukraine.
Really?
Yeah. Because in the Ukrainian politics, look, they have a Jewish president. He's not a Nazi. The guy that outfitted the people talk about this Azov battalion. The guy that outfitted it, Kolomoisky, is a Jewish man who's built many synagogues. He wouldn't be financing Nazis. And if you read scholarly papers on the Azov battalion, the Azov movement came from Moscow to Kharkiv, and these people were Russian-speaking Ukrainians. This battalion was formed. It was the two leaders that were kind of fascinated by a kind of neo-fascist ideology. But the people who joined it, there was no ideological requirement. And they weren't flying swastikas. They had a symbol made out of two letters of the Ukrainian alphabet that the Soviet Union had removed from the Ukrainian alphabet, had removed from the alphabet that weren't in the Russian alphabet. So, you know, that's not a swastika. So they doctor it up and they exaggerate something that has some basis in truth. And then they present it as, oh, Ukraine is Nazi. And that's what that was all about.
Right.
I mean, people haven't bothered to do any reading, haven't bothered to talk to Ukrainians or even know anything about Ukrainian politics.
Well, this keeps coming up, so maybe we should address this a bit. First of all, the Third Reich is gone, as far as we know. I believe the basis of the Third Reich was the book Mein Kampf, which is My Struggle, I believe, in English. So the... what if anything do these folks in Ukraine who are supposed to be Nazis, do they what parallels are there between the beliefs of the Third Reich and the beliefs of these so-called Nazis, if any? I don't know what they are.
Two guys that helped to raise a volunteer battalion can have the you will meet these people that have these far out views. And look, you've got them on this radio station that we're on right now. People have far out views, and that other people would call them Nazis. I mean, they would. These guys in this Azov battalion don't have any really different views than some of the people on the station. Right? So they're called Nazis in the same sense. You know, and of course, you got to remember, if you're on the left and you're a communist, anybody to the right of you is a Nazi or a fascist. I mean, that's just the way they conceive of things.
I'm still a bit of a loss. Do they advocate the reestablishment of the Third Reich?
What's their goal? No. Okay. No.
What is their goal? What is their goal, if you know it?
Well, they were just fighting the Russians, the Russian invasion of Donbass, of their own territory.
Okay.
You know, and it's their goal. It's two guys in a battalion that they didn't require them to believe their beliefs. Imagine two guys from this radio station want to found a militia, and they just loosely just want to defend the country, and the country's being invaded. Is that a Nazi unit? No, it's not.
I would think that to be Nazi, you would have to have the same beliefs as were held by Nazis in Germany in the 1930s.
In fact, actual Nazis from Germany who believe in the, you know, would like, love Hitler and would like to restore the actual Third Reich have been trained in Russia and have fought on the Russian side in the Donbass War. And that's documented.
Really?
Oh, yes.
Amazing.
People can do a Google search online. You'll find it.
No kidding.
Yeah.
I found it rather amazing that the Russians would tolerate that activity taking place inside Russia.
Well, you know, you got to remember, Hitler and Stalin were partners. And the Russians have this flexibility. They work with the Muslims, they work against them, they work with the Nazis, they accuse the Nazis. Look, the Golden Dawn Party in Greece is a Nazi party, and they're aligned with the communists, and both of them are politically aligned with Moscow. Right?
Okay.
Anybody can look that up. And look, it's the Wagner Group is a good example. We all know it, the Wagner Group. You know where that got that name? That guy that founded the Wagner Group, it's Wagner, it's the opera, right?
Right.
That Hitler loved. The guy was in love with the Third Reich. The guy that founded that group was in love with the Third Reich. I mean, you can look that up too. So it's like, this is really very strange.
It is very strange. Here,
but
we have a break.
Yeah.
Hold on, we have a break. Call number is 512-248-8252. We'll be right back.
My name is John. I'm the founder of Blackout Coffee, and I started Blackout because I really love coffee. I've always loved coffee, and after traveling so much to Europe, South America, and trying so many different coffees that were so good, and every time I came back to the U.S., I was so disappointed with the coffee, so I figured that I had to do something about it. The biggest difference is on the beans and the roasting process, how we roast it, and how fresh it is. The fresher the roast, the better the quality. Here I have like all of the coffee. It's roasted within 1 to 2 days prior to being shipped. So it literally gets to consumers' house within 3 to 5 days after being roasted. If you like coffee, you have to try ours. It's fresh roasted. It's one of the best beans that we can get, and you will definitely see the difference.
Visit blackoutcoffee.com and use the coupon code REPUB10. That's REPUB10.
Go to republicbroadcasting.org, smash that donate button, like Russian peacekeepers smashing through the Azov neo-Nazi terrorists in the Donbass.
I don't think you can explain politics without looking at Jewish power any more than you can explain physics without dealing with gravity.
9/11 was a jointly conducted covert operation that involved multiple states, the Saudis, the Israelis, and what you could call the deep state in the United
States.
With
anti-Semitic remarks.
yeah, you're jiggling juice, we used to say, the dancing Israelis.
So even the Republicans now are compromising, and they're pushing issues that are destructive to the white race.
They would always say, like, are we just going to talk about this stuff on the radio? What are we going to do about it?
Either we force the democracy to work by actually getting the ballot access, getting the candidates, getting in office, getting our message out there to the people, or we expose just how undemocratic it is.
The Patrick and Jeremy Show, Tuesday at 9 Central and Wednesday at 1 Central.
What would you say if I told you we have a new tool that will increase production and lower maintenance costs for your meat processing company, and it would pay for itself in just 6 weeks?
When pigs fly!
The new EaseOff Model EZ4 replaces old spring-style carcass droppers and is faster, safer, and more reliable. The EaseOff lowers or lifts 1,000 pounds to or from your rail automatically using our remote control.
Sounds expensive! Can I afford it?
Can you afford not to try the EaseOff? It installs fast with just 3 bolts in place of your current dropper. The effortless operation will reduce fatigue and injuries, speed up your line, eliminate downtime, and increase profit.
How can I order my EaseOff?
Go to EaseOff.com, EazeOff.com, and hurry, because we are offering $200 off on the new EZ4 for a limited time. EaseOff.com. We make pigs fly. Cows, too. EaseOff LLC, Summersville, Missouri, 417-932-6419.
I wish I was in the land of cotton wool, and there I'm not forgotten. Look away, Dixieland. In Dixie's land where I was born in early on one frosty morning. Look away, Dixieland. Well, I wish I was in Dixie, hooray, hooray. In Dixie's land I'll take my stand and live and die in Dixie. Away, away down south.
All right, we're back, ladies and gentlemen. Jared Moore here on Wednesday, the 23rd of August. This hour is sponsored by the Energy Cleaner. You're tired of being tired? Check out the Energy Cleaner. Arthritis pain got you down? Same thing. Check out the Energy Cleaner. Keep in mind, there's a 90-day money-back guarantee on Energy Cleaner available at thelibertyman.com. We have with us Jeff Nyquist. His website's jrnyquist.blog. I say again, jrnyquist.blog. JRNyquist.blog. His books for sale at Amazon.com. Jeff, before I get back to our conversation, how can people subscribe to your website, please? You're on mute, Jeff.
Yeah, on most of the websites, there'll be below the articles, there'll be a button for you to contribute to the website so that it can keep going.
Absolutely. Well, thank you, sir. Well, Jeff, we occasionally talk about the culture war, which I believe that behind the culture war, which is bizarre music, bizarre clothing, bizarre beliefs, I believe that the communists are either behind it or they support it because these bizarre culture war items hurt our people and hurt our ability to withstand communism and have a strong military. What do you think, sir?
Well, of course, critical race theory is perhaps one of the biggest things that's been introduced to the military, because U.S. military has people who are white and black and people of American Indian and Hispanic background, and you teach critical race theory, you are basically telling, and this is what critical race theory says, it says white people are racist. And they need to sort of be reformatted, and that the America is this horrible racist country right now, and that means that if you're a person of color, you're serving in the military of a country that's against your people, and that demoralizes people of color in the military, and it also demoralizes white people because they go in and they're browbeaten and called racist, and even told that they really it's very difficult for them to change. And they don't, if a person doesn't feel any conscious race animus doesn't feel any racism, then nonetheless it's put on them, and they're guilty because of the color of their skin. And you think about how damaging, and this is an ideology, critical race theory, that comes from critical theory. This is communism. This is invented by communists. This is a bomb in the middle of our military. And the Secretary of Defense and General Milley, who has been the chairman of the Joint Chiefs, there's a new one coming in, and they all believe, the new one and Milley, they all believe this is essential to combat racism in America. It's really combating America. It is a horrific, here we have done so much in this country to have people, you know, do the Martin Luther King thing and have people judged not by the color of their skin, but the quality of their character. And then we're judging people, we're teaching a doctrine that judges people by the color of their skin.
It's very destructive.
It's incredible. And it's the official policy of the Biden administration and of their defense secretary and the chairman of the Joint Chiefs. This is madness. And yet so much else is madness. I mean, the whole global warming thing where we're strangling our own petroleum industry is madness. You know, so many of the policies across the board, feminism is madness. Look at the birth rate. We're not having children. We have an open border that allows people, goodness knows who they are, criminals, members of hostile political movements, terrorists, whatever, can cross the border without subject to any monitoring. Just make the border open. Just make them come into the country. Give them money. You know, it is bankrupting cities. It's bankrupting communities. Because we have such a we've become a European welfare state. So we give all these generous benefits to everybody. We're going broke. But it's intentional. The communists want that too. Because if you break the back of the economy, people who are dirt poor have no freedom. They have to do what the government says if the only crumb that they're going to get is from the government. And if they break the back of business, then there's no competition to government from the private sector. There's nobody who has anything of their own that they can stand on. You know, as Trotsky famously said, you can't have a revolt in a country where the government controls the economy, because if you revolt against the government, you won't eat. You won't have a job. The government provides everything. That is the ultimate goal of the socialists, you know, total government control of everything. And of course, it's very funny. There's this fundamental difference, and I want the communists who are listening to this, I want you to listen to me very carefully. You communists in America, you're for stripping America of all of its weapons, all of its defenses. The communists in China don't have that view. They're building nuclear weapons like sausages. Now, what do you think that signifies? They have all the nuclear weapons and we have none? You think you're going to be liberated by that, or are you going to be nuked?
Absolutely. Well said, Jeff. We got a break with a caller and hold. We'll be right back.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Find your inner rebel at Dixie Republic, the world's largest Confederate store, located in Travelers Rest, South Carolina. The anti-white, anti-Christ, anti-Southern world ends at the asphalt. Welcome to God's country. Log on to DixieRepublic.com to view our Southern merchandise, from flags to t-shirts to artwork. At the store, browse through our extensive collection of belt buckles and have a custom-made leather belt handcrafted in our Johnny Reb's Gun and Leather Shop. That's DixieRepublic.com, where you can meet all of your Southern needs.
Support those that support the network. Support Dixie Republic at DixieRepublic.com. Email ProudSouthern123@gmail.com and let them know that RBN sent you.
John Moore's private consultations are the most comprehensive services available any place, anywhere in the world. They're available now and provide valuable knowledge and information that protects an individual, family, or group. We provide clarity, focus, and information for you and your associates for any situation. We have just the right knowledge, just the right information from just the right professionals. Schedule your consultation for your family or group now. Contact us at thelibertyman.com. That's thelibertyman.com. Once again, thelibertyman.com.
Fix bayonets.
Nicole Colgren, wherefore many men have gone.
All right, we're back, ladies and gentlemen. My website is thelibertyman.com. A lot there. Beautiful photographs of the men and women I met at the Red Pill Expo. G. Edward Griffin, Dr. Brian Artis, Dr. Sherry Tenpenny, Dan Happel, and Ambassador Alan Keyes. Great men and women, and I hope to have some of them as guests on this show, working on it. Next Monday, we'll have Bill Fortune with us, the author of 1 Second After, and a more recent book, 5 Years After, dealing with the consequences of an EMP attack on the United States. ProxArt will help you achieve your goals. Liberated rocket heaters, yes, it will be winter before you know it. We have Liberated rocket heaters in stock, ready for immediate shipment. A wood-burning stove, listen carefully, that has no smoke, burns both firewood and or wood pellets, your choice. Wood pellets or firewood. That's what it's in my living room. That's what kept me nice and warm and cozy last winter and saved me a bucket full of money. Of course, the energy cleaner. If you're tired of being tired, check out the energy cleaner. Arthritis pain slowing you down? Same thing. You like to do the things that you used to do before the arthritis pain? Ride a bicycle, go for a walk in the park, hunting, fishing, go dancing with your honey. Well, you can do those things again once you're past the pain. The energy cleaner will help you. Keep in mind, I offer a 90-day money-back guarantee on an energy cleaner available at thelibertyman.com. My toll-free order line, listen carefully, 800-592-9543. Building with Jeff Nyquist, his website's jrnyquist.blog. Books for sale at Amazon. Jeff, we got a couple of cars. First, we got Charlie in Florida. Good morning, Charlie.
Oh, good morning, John. Before I get to my topic, I wanted to just let you know that there's legal actions underway right now to take Dr. Tenpenny's medical license away. I don't know if you knew that, but they're trying to.
I had dinner with her, and we talked about that matter, and the Attorney General of Ohio, the Assistant Attorney General, made a complete fool of himself, and she's going to prevail.
Well, that's good. I'm glad to hear that. I'm glad you had a chance to talk to her. The reason I'm calling is I want to defend McGregor a little bit here. I got about a year ago, I guess, or several months ago, we were talking about McGregor, someone said that he had disgraced himself because of his service over in the, I believe it was Kosovo. And I had contacted him after that because at the time I didn't know much about that Kosovo war. I remember it, you know, but I didn't know anything about his service over there and everything. And so I wanted to check it out. And so I contacted him, and he was very gracious through a series of several emails and communications with his secretary, who she relayed some personal messages to me. I was able to get to what happened and why he served over there and what was going on. I wanted to clear it up because he wasn't disgraced himself because he served over there. He was actually a hero. When the war broke out, he had getting close to retirement, and they asked him to serve over to go over to Kosovo, and he told them no, he didn't believe in the war. He didn't think it was a just war, and he was going to take early retirement, and that was the end of it. And then later, they was contacted by the Pentagon, and they asked him, they said, look, we want you to go into Kosovo. And he said, no, I don't believe in the war, and, you know, I'm not going to do it. And he said, you don't understand. So we've got a problem over there. They said that some of our boys were trapped in the northern central part of the over there, and they couldn't figure out any way to get to them, and that the only way that they could figure out to get to them was to lead an incursion from the south, going through the middle of the country, going up into the central area by tank, and to get to pull our boys out, and that this is the only thing that they could come up with, that they figured they could get them out of there, and they chose General McGregor as the one. They wanted him to be the one to lead the invasion, to lead the tank insertion through the country to get our boys out, because he had been over, I guess it was in Iraq or where it was over there, and he had already was considered a hero and kind of a, you know, and so he told them, he said, okay, he would agree to that. He would go over there, he would pull our boys out, and he would bring them home, and he did that, and then he retired. And he said, I got this through communications with him over several emails, and I'm very proud of the fact that General McGregor, because in my opinion, he didn't disgrace himself in Kosovo. He was a hero. He got our boys out of there, that was the end of it.
But excuse me, you're implying that I said he disgraced himself over Kosovo.
Yes, you did. Those were your exact words, Jeff. You said he disgraced himself for his service in Kosovo.
Excuse me, sir. Excuse me, sir.
No, I'm telling you exactly what you
said. No, sir. I've never even known that he ever even did anything in Kosovo. I don't make false accusations against people. I never said that. I don't know where you get this crazy idea.
Please tell me.
I've never mentioned Mr. McGregor's service in Kosovo,
Jeff,
because I've never
known. I'm going to hang up now.
You know, these people, they come on the show, they put words into my mouth that I never said. I have never had any even idea that he did anything there. Why would I make something up like that? This is just nuts.
Well, something I've learned as a talk show host for more than 20 years, Jeff, is people don't always hear what you say.
No, they don't. I said that he disgraced himself by his position on Ukraine. That's all I've said. I don't believe he ever disgraced himself in his military service. I've never said that. I think his military record is outstanding. You know, so I don't know where he gets that.
Well, I don't know either, but let's move on from there. I think we gave that enough airtime. So what direction would you like? Oh, we got a caller here, Jeff. We got John in Texas. Good morning, John.
Good morning. I have a question. Do you know about Chad O. Jackson and his critiques? He's a filmmaker that produced Uncle Tom. Have you seen that?
No.
Well, he has become very critical of the civil rights movement. He's a black conservative. And he is, and you mentioned Martin Luther King Jr. What is the truth about Martin Luther King Jr.?
Which truth?
Which truth? Well, what is the real truth about him?
Well, the Kennedys were very concerned that he had communists on his staff, that he was being influenced by the wrong people. You know, that's been recorded. You know that he's the only American now that is given a national holiday after him. George Washington, there's no longer a George Washington a holiday. It's President's Day now. There's no longer, I mean, in some states observe Lincoln's birthday still. So he is the most honored American right now, and being the only, the solitary figure in American history who has a holiday named after him. There's controversy about his, and I don't know what the details are. There are people that claim that he plagiarized his doctoral dissertation. I don't know what the truth is on that. I don't really know that much about him. So, you know, there's people that, you know, that have claimed that he had some left-wing influence. There is claims also about his unfaithfulness to his wife, that he had, let's say, affairs outside his marriage. I don't know what the truth of that is either. But so those are the controversies about him. What is the truth? I've never really studied his life, so I don't know.
Okay. Also, I have a question about the Tet Offensive. If the communists had not launched the Tet Offensive and simply stayed on the course that they'd been prior to that, what would have happened? How would the course of the war have likely gone?
How would the course of the war gone if what happened?
Vietnam
if there,
War.
If there had been no Tet Offensive, Jeff, that's his question.
Well, the Vietnamese and the Viet Cong would have had a lot more troops to do something with later. I mean, there is this thing in military affairs where when you get sufficient numbers of troops and you think you can do something, you're going to do it. They were probably at a point where they couldn't really support more troops than they had logistically, and so they had to either do something with them or just sit there. And eventually they would have had to have done some kind of offensive. And the strategy of their offensive was a pretty good one. It was a flanking offensive. You know, they used the length of the country to attack using the Ho Chi Minh Trail and using the Viet Cong positions in the Central Highlands and the Mekong Delta especially. But so there would have been eventually been something. I mean, they had the Easter Offensive in 1972. It was a similar thing, only the Viet Cong were just very, very small presence in that one. It was mostly North Vietnamese Army divisions. So, you know, what if there wasn't? I mean, there wouldn't have been a big battle then, a big series of battles. You know, the anti-war people were going to depict, and this will sound familiar, the government of South Vietnam as corrupt, as incapable, as inevitably doomed, as unwilling to fight, and their soldiers were dying in huge numbers. Does this sound familiar? And that the communists were winning and that we were supporting a losing side? Does this sound familiar? Only the difference is in Ukraine, there's no American, you know, troops fighting. There's no American bombers bombing. But in Vietnam, we sort of invaded. Johnson brought in a huge American force. We sort of took over the war. What Nixon did is he Vietnamized the war. He gave it back. He said, look, it's your war. You guys fight it. Let's get our Americans out of here. And the Vietnamese were able to do just fine. Most of the engagements in the Tet Offensive were fought with Vietnamese units. In 1972, there were no American ground units engaged against you know, in major battles with the invading North Vietnamese army. So, you know, they were able to fight on their own. They were able to be supported with some airstrikes from us. And they had developed a very powerful military as long as we were able to give them the fuel and the ammunition. You know, because the Russians and Chinese were both pouring everything they could into the north in terms of supplies. Does that answer your question?
Well, there's been no... things have come to light about the offensive in later years that have indicated that there was a massive disenchantment at the idea of the... They felt that it was to go on a massive offensive of that sort or to deviate from the course that they were on at the time was a mistake, and there was a massive arrest and purging of the command structure of the North Vietnamese and Viet Cong as a result, and they taking over the Viet Cong first by General Giap and placing under some in North Vietnamese Army direct North Vietnamese Army control, for one thing, and
well,
also
they suffered terrible casualties. Remember, the North Vietnamese Army and the Viet Cong were largely wiped out in the Tet Offensive. It was a failure, even though it was depicted as some kind of failure on our side by our news media, you know. And of course, the Marines especially suffered heavy casualties because they were in some heavy battles, right? And so you had a lot of Americans killed in the Tet Offensive, but nothing compared to the communist losses. Nothing compared. They just were massacred. It took them a while to build back up. Of course, they're going to have a purge in a communist system. They have
I mean, before. No, that's not what I said. After the offensive. It was before the offensive that there was purging and takeover.
Oh, yeah. Well, they had purge. You know, communist Stalin purged the Russian military before World War II. The Chinese are purging their military right now.
Because
so purging before an offensive is, yeah, it's in sort of, why? Because they want to increase efficiency. So they purge they purge after.
No.
They're always purging their people, these communist states.
But this time they purged them because they were objecting to Lê Duẩn and Lê Đức Tho's. It was Lê Duẩn and it was not Ho Chi Minh that came up with it. It was Lê Duẩn and Lê Đức Tho.
Well, Lê Đức Tho was the foreign minister, wasn't he?
Yeah, I think so. And what about Lê Duẩn? What was he, head of the Politburo?
I'm not sure right then. I mean, you're talking about 1967?
I don't know. But I understand.
Anyway, this is pretty obscure. This is pretty far down in the weeds, John. Talking about the details of Stalin purged his military before World War II, and then right after the first initial failures, he shot a whole bunch of generals. General Pavlov, for example, who was the commander of the Central Military District, was shot along with most of his deputies. So these things are not. You have to understand the communists purged their military systems prior to offensives because they want to get the. They want to get the right people. And when there's arguments developed in the communist system and they can't resolve them, they shoot one group and then they leave the other in charge. That's a lot of what happened. I mean, Stalin purged a huge number of generals before they were at war. And it's happening now in China.
Yeah. Colonel Hackworth wrote about faith. In his opinion, I read from his book that his in 1967, his assessment that there was the course that they were on was winning. That I think he also saw that the Tet Offensive.
John, thank you for your call. Thank you, Rebecca. Right.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
The secret to aging like fine wine is in the vines. Syrah grape seeds and skins contain high levels of flavonoids and resveratrol. Fermentation breaks these organic compounds down into smaller molecules, penetrating these therapeutic ingredients deeper into the skin, delivering faster and more effective results. Our handmade fermented skincare products are formulated with all natural ingredients and do not contain any phthalates or parabens. Similar products can cost as much as $180. At Natural Earth Medicine, we source our ingredients from local Arizona vineyards and cold process our oils to ensure that our customers receive the highest quality product in its purest form. Learn more at our website and try our fermented skincare products today. Visit naturalearthmedicine.com. That's naturalearthmedicine.com.
Tejibo Tea Club's original Pure Powdy Arco Super Tea helps build red corpuscles in the blood, which carry oxygen to our organs and cells. Our organs and cells need oxygen to regenerate themselves. The immune system needs oxygen to develop, and cancer dies in oxygen. So the tea is great for healthy people because it helps build the immune system, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. The tea is also organic and naturally caffeine-free. A one-pound package of tea is $49.95, which includes shipping. To order, please visit drinksupertea.com. The first word is drink, spelled D-R-I-N-K, then the word super, then the word tea. The complete website is drinksupertea.com, or call us at 818-965-9113, Monday through Saturday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. California time. That's 818-965-9113. DrinkSuperTea.com.
Company will fix bayonets! Fix! Bayonets! Attention!
All right, we're back, ladies and gentlemen. Well, Jeff, got about 3 minutes here to summarize your thoughts for the day and for the week, sir.
Summarize my thoughts. You know, I'm not sure what the last call was really about. But one point I should make about communist offensives, like the Tet Offensive or the Easter Offensive, like the Russian offensives here into Ukraine, or their invasion of Finland in 1939, their attacks, their offensives often fail. Their military effectiveness fails because they have a top-down management system where inputs from the people further down aren't always appreciated. And this administrative system, which also exists in the Chinese Army and the People's Liberation Army, is not the same as ours, where people can say, hey, why don't we do it this way, or this isn't going to work. And you have more of a communication between lower and higher level officers so they can figure out how to do it better. Usually this top-down system, people who really are remote from the actual problems on the ground are giving orders that don't make sense, and people robotically follow them. And this is really a disaster. In military affairs, you've got, you know, you read about the Battle of Guadalcanal. The Japanese military had some of these problems where they had a fixed, rigid plan when they were attacking Bloody Ridge in the Battle of Guadalcanal, and they were just getting slaughtered. It wasn't working for them. So did they come up with a creative, different plan? No. They just lost the battle. You know, so this is kind of the situation you have in Ukraine. You have a country where the people are more free. They've broken from the Soviet-type system, and the Russian military is still the Soviet military in its essential manner of functioning and its tactics and its command system. And so that's why things happen the way they are, and that's the way they want their society to be. So when they even allow freedom, it's kind of just for show. It's to get advantage later where they can rein in all those people and force them to do what they want. And that's the pattern of this socialist movement, is to take people's freedom away. They want to do it right here to us. So, you know, that's what people are starting to feel here. They're starting to realize it, what's going on. And this is a global movement. Communism is not, you know, something that just exists. You know, there's American Marxism and then there's Russian Marxism or whatever. It's a world movement. And it has its different variants for the different countries, but they're united. The thing about Marxism is that Marxist groups cooperate all around the world in making their vision effective. And liberals, right-wing communists, so to speak, if Eric Vergelin's right, they're not really set on opposing them. In fact, the people who are the villains are the conservatives who say, wait a minute, there's no utopia on Earth. We have to think differently about political problems. We can't make a perfect world. They're the enemy.
Well said, Jeff. Well said. Thank you, sir. We'll have you back next week. We appreciate it.
Thanks.
Okay, that's it for the day. Get your medical supplies, your energy, clean, essential oils. Now, while you can, your final ammunition. Ever good for yourself. Please have a fun, safe, productive day. God bless my beautiful county, Crawford County, Missouri. Beautiful state of Missouri. I get to live in a very large Texas. Lord, please God bless the United States of America.
My name is John. I'm the founder of Blackout Coffee, and I started Blackout because I really love coffee. I've always loved coffee, and after traveling so much to Europe, South America, and trying so many different coffees that were so good, and every time I came back to the U.S., I was so disappointed with the coffee, so I figured that I had to do something about it. The biggest difference is on the beans and the roasting process, how we roast it, and how fresh it is. The fresher the roast, the better the quality. Here I have like all of the coffee. It's roasted within 1 to 2 days prior to being shipped. So it literally gets to consumers' house within 3 to 5 days after being roasted. If you like coffee, you have to try ours. It's fresh roasted. It's one of the best beans that we can get, and you will definitely see the difference.
Visit blackoutcoffee.com and use the coupon code REPUB10. That's REPUB10.
You can't handle the truth.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit republicbroadcasting.org today because you can handle the truth.